Well, ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to this, the fourth in our series of research seminars in the Hellenic Observatory for this term. This is our penultimate one. Our last one will be taking place in 2 weeks' time, and I'll announce that at the end of this particular session. This evening, though, it gives us great pleasure to welcome back and to welcome to the Hellenic Observatory and to the LSE Professor Lois Labdianidis and Dr. Manolis Patsinakis, who are going to speak on the theme of outward migration from Greece during the crisis. This particular piece of research is something that was funded by a grant by the National Bank of Greece through the Hellenic Observatory. And so what they're going to be presenting this evening is the outcome of this research, which has also been published partly in a Greece paper, the Hellenic Observatory discussion papers, which are available online through the website. By way of a very brief introduction, so I don't encroach too much on the speaker's time, let me just say a few things about the speakers. Professor Lois Labdianidis is Secretary General for Strategic and Private Investments at the Greek Ministry of Economy, Development and Tourism. And in his real job, he's a professor of economic geography at the University of Macedonia and head of the Regional Development and Planning Research Unit there. He is an economic geographer by academic inclination. And to cut a very long CV short, I have to tell you that I think his greatest accolade is that he has a PhD from the LSE, if I'm not mistaken, which makes him more than welcome to come and present here. He has a very lengthy list of scholarly publications, which it will take me simply too long to go through them. Enough said on that particular score. This evening, he's also presenting this particular research paper with Dr. Manolis Patsinakis, who's a Marie Curie postdoctoral fellow, also at the University of Macedonia in Greece, and he's also a research fellow at the Institute of Migration and Ethnic Studies at the University of Amsterdam. As I said, the theme of today's talk is outward migration from Greece during the crisis, and the speakers are going to speak for approximately 40 minutes in a sort of relay race. So over to you.
Thank you very much for inviting us and hosting us in London, and I would like to thank you all for being present. Our presentation, as one can derive from the title, I assume, has to do with a new out-migration from Greece during periods of debt crisis, recession, austerity, and also the socio-political consequences. And emigration from Greece is certainly not a new phenomenon, as you may very well be acquainted with the fact that already since the late 19th century, Greece had been a major source country for emigration, a process that lasted for years. In fact, it was only during the mid-1970s that for the first time in its recent history, Greece started having a positive migratory balance. And at that time, that was mostly due to the return of the Greek emigrants that had gone to Western Europe to work in the booming industries in the first post-war decades. At that time, during the mid-70s, a modest number of immigrants started arriving to Greece, and that's a process that acquired momentum, particularly during the 1990s, when Greece became a de facto immigration country. That was a process that was closely related to the fall of the so-called Eastern Bloc. As a result of that, immigration quadrupled within a decade. It reached approximately 1 million people that came primarily from the Balkans and from the former Soviet Union. And this process has been described in the literature as a kind of a transition of the Greece's migration history from an emigration to an immigration country. And this is something, however, that is currently being blurred, at least. On the one hand, we have the so-called refugee crisis dramatically unfolding. And while Greece in the onset crisis has been a transit country in refugees' attempt to reach the countries of Western and Northern Europe. Gradually, in the context of EU's attempt to ever toughening attempts to restrict the mobility of asylum seekers and undocumented migrants. That has turned Greece to a, quote, de facto storage house for a migration that is unwanted in the countries of the North and Western Europe, and one may even say also a kind of an internal borderland for migration control within the EU territory. That's one side of the story that blurs Greece's transition. The other, or complexity, the other side is the outflow of Greek citizens and foreign nationals from Greece that has started from the late 2000 and has gained momentum steadily after year 2010. I'm making some speaking of a turnaround in Greece's migration history, like being again a country of emigration rather than immigration. We'll see in the future if that is true, but the truth is that at this point in time there is a gradual, there is considerable increase in the outflows, and as a result there has been also rather vivid public discussion on the matter, and this we think is characterized by two misconceptions that we'll try to kind of debunk with our presentation today. The first one is the fact that the emigration of highly skilled migrants, the outflow of graduates, it is presented as a kind of a new phenomenon that has resulted from the crisis itself, which we will argue is not really the truth. And in such kind of framing, the underlying structural roots of the phenomenon, particularly the phenomenon of the emigration of the highly skilled, they are not addressed, and we hope to address them today, and that will be on the second part of our talk, and this will be done by Professor Labianidis. And the second misconception is the fact that the currently evolving crisis-driven emigration is presented as something that has exclusively to do that exclusively pertains to young and educated. However, even though this is, to be sure, a very important part of it, we also see the immigration of older people, lesser educated, minority groups, and so forth. So in the first part, drawing on the survey that we did through the generous help of the grant of National Bank that was made available from the Hellenic Observatory here, and we're very thankful for that. We'll describe the magnitude, the characteristics, and the dynamics of the migration. And in the second, we will go on in particular into the brain drain phenomenon and the migration of the highly skilled, and we'll suggest some policies that could be put forward in order to alleviate the negative consequences of the phenomenon and possibly turn it into an opportunity in the long run for the restructuring of the economy and society. Now, let me start with the description of the new migration, and I would like to firstly briefly note that before the onset of the crisis, the Greek citizens have been recorded by a series of surveys to be notably among the least prone to leave the country. The least favorable towards long-term mobility, and those who envisaged as the least that in the near future they would leave the country. And that was soon to change due to what followed. We all know contraction of the GDP that equals 25%, skyrocketing of unemployment rates, cutbacks in welfare, and so forth. So here we see the evolution in terms of numbers of the immigration flow, and those are data from Eurostat. And one first observation to make is that it's not only Greek citizens that leave the country, but also non-Greek citizens. So the immigrants increase, and in relative terms, one may say that they do so more than the the Greek citizens. And that's one thing that hasn't been commented that much in the discussion about Greek immigration. Leaving this aside, we see that immigration starts getting momentum after 2010. It peaks in 2012, and ever since it's high and steady. For some reason, Eurostat has taken down this data that we accessed during the summer or so. I don't know if that has to do with issues of reliability, but in our research, we kind of came in very similar findings. Our survey that was done in 1,237 households in Greece, and it was through a stratified sampling method using the landline telephones in Greece, and asking a series of questions about household members' mobility history, and it is nationwide representative. So we estimated that between 2010, when it is the period, the year that immigration starts escalating, until last year, end of last year, 2015, the immigration should be ranging between 280,000 to 350,000 people. And given our finding about return around 50%, then we estimate that that the immigrant population of those that left after 2010 and still live abroad should be somewhere between 240 to 300, and if we include this year, then we may safely speak of a population that's 300 people, taking into account that migration, from what we assess, has been also continuing. So, in terms of numbers, that seems to be rather comparable in size with what was happening in the early post-war decades, the so-called guest worker migrations. However, there are significant differences in the characteristics of the present migration from that has taken place a few decades ago, and I will go into detailing this issue. Maybe I would start by saying that even the context of migration is considerably different. Back then, migration took place as part of bilateral agreements between the states where the Greek immigrants were heading to and countries. And nowadays, people more or less spontaneously, provisionally move in order to build a better life. And they do so by heading to various destinations, much more than in the past, spanning from Middle East to Far East and from East Europe to the Balkans, Canada, Australia. But the vast majority of them seem to be heading towards EU countries and making use of the right of free mobility within the European space. And in particular, UK and Germany together attract by far the largest share, and together more than half of the immigrant population. And we found an interesting difference between those two countries in terms of the educational backgrounds of the immigrants. So those who come from Britain, they're almost exclusively people of high educational attainments, while those who go to Germany are also people of lower and middle educational backgrounds. And that can be explained from the fact that people with the more highly educated try to find jobs by applications to publicly accessible openings. So by themselves, so to say, whereas those with lower educational credentials mostly make use of their social networks. And as a result of that, former guest workers destinations such as Germany, but also Sweden, Netherlands, have people with lower educational backgrounds as well, whereas Britain, but also newer migration destinations such as Switzerland, Luxembourg, almost exclusively host people with high education backgrounds.
So, could I just ask, do more people go to Germany than the UK?
It's a little bit, in our research we found that they're like completely, equal numbers of people. However, the statistics of Eurostat point to the fact that Germany seemed to receive more migrants. And but this is a little bit tricky because of the way that statistics are collected in Britain and in Germany. Here it's, you have to get the working population of foreigners, whereas in Germany people actually living, so it's difficult to say. Please, if there is need for any clarification, do interrupt me.
Does this include students, or is it economic, people with a destination to employment?
Yes, it does include students. The one important thing, though, is that whereas in the past students did go for studies aiming to return, we have seen, like, from the qualitative research that we're doing in part, I have to say that together with the study, I've started our own Marie Curie project, which goes in more detail in some of those issues. So then we have found out that the students that leave Greece nowadays, especially those who go for postgraduate studies, they see this as an investment in order to stay in the country where they go for studies. Of course, some of the students may return, but I think it's justifiable to count them as part of the immigration population. Now, in terms of the socioeconomic situation of the household, after year 2000, the households with the highest incomes were the ones that were the most likely to send migrants abroad, and this is a tendency that stayed strong also during the crisis period. For instance, the immigrants from households with very high incomes comprised 9% of the total outflow, so 1 out of 10, even though those households formed only 2% of our total income. So it was kind of 5 times more probable for them to leave Greece. But, and not surprisingly, because of the socioeconomic situation in Greece, people, more underprivileged categories, are in more pressing need to leave, and we see that. So we have a very big increase of the emigration of people who are in low to very low income households, and now they constitute almost 1/3 of the output, and which is pretty much in par to their share in the total. Another interesting finding concerns the average age, I'm missing age there, of migration. So you see here, that's the mean age of the migrant across the years, and currently, during the crisis, so to say, period, the mean age of the migrant is 31 years old. Interestingly, there is a considerable number of people who live this in their 40s, which is quite unique in the history of emigration. And possibly, if we treat that together with the findings of the socioeconomic conditions of the household of the migrant, then we may speak that we are kind of witnessing a shift from choice to necessity in terms of the motivations of the migrants. And there are people who emigrate as a kind of a survival strategy because of chronic unemployment. There are others who see their career, their opportunities for a career severely reduced. And there are others who do this as kind of a way to prevent negative developments that they see coming in relation to their personal life and because of the crisis and to their employment. Now, in terms of and maybe I could say very briefly a few words about the experiences of the migrants. I won't get into that, but maybe it makes sense to say that there are several people who managed to secure jobs even before coming to the country where they head to, and there are a considerable number of people. However, others, who usually people who are educated in fields of economy that are less in need in the countries where they go to, find difficulties, and they spend a considerable period working in jobs that are unrelated to their expertise, like cafeterias or whatever. And if they don't have maybe capital, the time or resources, social networks to invest further on the training, language skills, sometimes they kind of get stuck in a situation in which is not very hopeful for them. So for them, however, what this opportunity of migration gives them is the kind of the possibility to lead an independent life, so they can manage on their own. We can get maybe into this issue in the questions. And remittances, they are very low. Only 19 of the immigrants, as anticipated, mainly from low to very low income households, send money to Greece. And from our qualitative research, it seems that those were people who were already supporting their families from when they were back in Greece. So at this point, immigration seemed to contribute to the substance and the economic progress of the immigrants themselves, and does not contribute that much to the Greek economy. And that is corroborated also by the data from World Bank that shows that we have a decrease in the volume of remittances. And finally, before I pass it to Lois, a few words about education. From this graph, we see over the years, this is the volume of immigration per decade by the educational background of the migrant. So now it is the vast majority of migrants of high education that have left Greece. And we see the increase through time. And it's not only... And we have estimated approximately 190,000 graduates leave outside Greece, and more than half of whom have left after 2010. And it's not only the the volume, but it's also the... I don't know how to put that. It is also those who have spent the most years in education that are increasingly leave Greece. So what you see here is the share of postgraduates among the immigrant population. This should have been five here. So, so currently they form 25% of the total outflow. These are people with PhD, either PhD or master's degree levels, degrees, or graduates of medicine and engineering, because in Greece it's 5 years. And it counts as a postgraduate degree as well. But if we look at the composition by decade of the immigration by educational background, what we see here is that what is happening now is pretty much a replication of what has been happening before the crisis. So on the one hand, yes, indeed, immigration has increased, immigration of highly skilled. But if we look closely, we see that it has been happening already, but in lower volume and maybe was passing unnoticed. So during the 2000 decade, already 25% of the immigrants were people of high degrees. This is a little bit overestimated. Correcting for that, we have concluded that the highly skilled migrants, graduates, are two-thirds of the immigration. So one-third is people without degrees, and two-thirds are people with degrees. And the crisis-driven highly educated migration of the highly educated should be, on the one hand, seen as part, albeit a very significant one, of the new crisis-driven immigration, and as a continuation of an earlier ongoing phenomenon that has been happening before the crisis. And I pass now to Lois.
Thank you very much. Dr. Pratsinakis has presented the research that we have conducted with the grant that we received from the Hellenico Observatory and was published. In my presentation, I would like to share with you some preliminary thoughts on how to handle this phenomenon that we are describing, about the brain drain phenomenon. And in order to do that, I will also touch upon our conception regarding the roots of the phenomenon, why this phenomenon happens to Greece. Of course, it's a sketchy presentation, but I'll have to do that in order to support my claims about the policy. I have to state right at the beginning that what I will describe as a policy, it's not a government policy. Some preliminary thoughts that we have on how to deal with the phenomenon. I'm afraid that I have to stick to my paper, I mean, so as to be brief. The brain drain increased drastically during the economic recession due to the shrinkage of the Greek economy. However, the problem did not arise during the crisis. I mean, with the research that we did back in 2010, we find out that there were about 130,000 Greek professionals that they were working abroad back in 2010. So we think that's a structural problem. I suppose that one might say that beyond any doubt, the most fundamental reason for this major exodus is the mismatch that exists in the labor market, resulting in a substantial unemployment, underemployment among professionals, doing jobs that they are overqualified for, accepting badly paid jobs or even precarious jobs. The predominant explanation of this mismatch is that this is due to the oversupply of professionals. However, the percentage of graduates in the total population is below the average in both the OECD and the EU countries. As you can see here with the EU statistics, we are in 29.3% of the age group 25 to 44, while the EU average is 31.7%. And the same goes for similar for the other age brackets. I have to say both in EU terms and in OECD terms. Thus, the low utilization of graduates in Greece cannot be solely attributed to the oversupply of graduates in Greece. Moreover, the underutilization of graduates in Greece cannot be primarily attributed to the poor conditions in the Greek universities. Migration of professionals from Greece could be mostly attributed to the low demand for graduates from the private sector, as the country has not been able to occupy a higher position in the global value chain. Indicatively, Greece presents the lowest shares of employment, you can see 2.3%, in high technology sectors in the period 2008 to 2015, while the average is 3.9%. Before the crisis, so using this chart, I mean, I would like to make 3 points. Before the crisis, unemployment rates of poorly educated in Greece were lower than the EU. That's Greece, and that's the EU of the poorly educated. That is lower than lower secondary education, with lower secondary education. And in part, they were comparable. I mean, with the tertiary sector, with the education with Greece with tertiary education. After the crisis, the EU unemployment rates of highly educated increased marginally. You can see here the EU,
the highly educated
here, while in the Greek case there was a skyrocketed increase. All this indicates that in Greece education does not provide significant advantages in terms of access to labour market. Moreover, if we compare the ratio of unemployment rates of people with up to lower secondary education, that's here, with the tertiary education, we see that in the case of Greece, the rate, 13.3 is 1.5, while in the case of EU it's 3.7%. So in Greece this ratio is much lower. Finally, R&D expenditure in Greece is much lower compared to the EU, 1.91 in the period 2005-2014, while in Greece 0.68%, almost in the EU is almost triple. But what's more interesting, it's what's happening within its column. So here we see that 54.6% of this R&D expenditure is due to the private sector, while in the case of Greece, it's only 32%. So it's evident that the main weakness is due to the company's low spending on R&D and the frail collaboration by the university industry sector. Thus, the mismatch in the labor market lies not in the supply side of supposedly excessively highly skilled workforce, but rather in the demand side of labor market failing to absorb this workforce. In other words, it's clear that the restricted employment opportunities for graduates in Greece are primarily the result of the low demand of the private sector, as Greek firms are not oriented towards the promotion of knowledge-intensive activities. The loss of these talents further diminishes the potential of higher competitiveness, which imposes a vicious cycle of underdevelopment that does not allow the country to escape from the crisis. This, combined with the inability of the Greek research system to attract talented researchers and scientists, leads to a further exacerbation of the outflow of graduates. There are two ways, in general, I mean all over the world, to utilize the country's professionals working abroad. One is the return option. The aim is to focus on the return. However, policies to encourage the return of professionals with various incentives failed almost everywhere, except in countries with high growth rates, and we have at least four examples. One is the case with the newly industrialized countries, with the cases of Singapore and the Republic of Korea, and the other is with two large countries, with India and China recently, where they have great GDP growth. The other way is to the diaspora option or the virtual return, is to utilize the highly skilled people, considering that for some time they will remain abroad, with policies to strengthen their ties with the country of origin while they remain the destination country, maintaining linkages across borders through informal networks or organized programs allows home countries to expand their access to the scientific and technical skills of this individual who will otherwise be lost. To achieve the return of these valuable human resources of Greek professionals abroad, we must overcome the reasons that led to their flight. That is, change the mode of economic development of the country and turn to an economy based on the production of products and services with a higher knowledge content that will create a greater demand for professionals. However, this cannot be achieved soon, and it will take, quite a long time to be achieved. At the same time, the Greek state must publicly and formally recognize the fundamental value of this human capital and encourage the creation of a more meritocratic labor market in order to ensure that this highly educated labor force is not only employed according to its skills and knowledge, but also occupies a central role in the Greek administrative political system and the decision-making process. The overriding question is, what will happen in the short and medium term? Return in the short term is neither part of the plan nor an aspiration of most of the immigrants. I'm speaking about Greek immigrants. In the short and medium term, we can expect neither a significant share of expatriates to return, nor the cessation of graduates emigrating from Greece. Therefore, it's crucial to implement straightforward measures in order to moderate the intensity of expatriation of talents. Policies with immediate results are already in place. I'll give you some examples of such policies through small-scale actions to retain young scientists. First, strengthening self-employment of graduates through ESPA. Recruitment on short-term contracts to universities of people with doctoral degrees. And third, positive discrimination of young doctorates to be recruited as teaching staff in open university. Policies with short-term and medium-term effects are also in place. That is, by creating a more challenging and attractive business environment through incentives provided by the incentives law the structure of funds, the Juncker plan, etc., etc. I'll give you an example, I mean, in the case of the incentives law. I mean, we are trying to develop the health tourism cluster, which will increase, I mean, the number of tourists that they come in order for health reasons. And this, in turn, will increase the number of doctors that they are needed in order to support this trend. But these policies with short-term and medium-term effects are not enough. We propose that simultaneously Greece must utilize the valuable human capital of diaspora, considering that in the near future at least they will remain abroad. Greek professionals working abroad should be considered as a significant pipeline interconnection between the Greek economy and productive and innovative international centers. Every Greek professional working abroad should be seen not only as a unit, but as a node in a system with many connections which can link the Greek economy with this system. At the same time, it's essential that the country be linked to this expatriate professional and scientific network by following the diaspora option. This set of actions could include the promotion of collaboration schemes between the public and the private sector and those networks abroad. I mean, I suppose that you know already that there are existing schemes like the dual appointments for university professors, I mean, which working almost okay. But we can imagine of other things as well. I mean, for example, I mean, we can imagine that research projects can be applied now. I mean, academics can do their research projects, applications for research projects in the EU, I mean, through a Greek university, which nowadays, I mean, especially with the Brexit, might be a very good idea, I mean, for people working in Britain. Or we can have, I mean, educational training seminars by individual professionals that will be helpful, I mean, for the private sector. Furthermore, the role of alumni association could be also promoted in order to establish effective links between graduates who either continue their studies or work abroad, etc., etc. I mean, we can think of lots of things regarding academics and researchers. For this matter, we need to facilitate the smooth realization of every possible cooperation between these people and Greece, but both while they are in the country of residence, as well as facilitating them to work intermittently in Greece. To this end, we propose to form the network that we called it Bridges of Knowledge or Bridges of Partnership. Let me first put forward two almost contradictory conclusions. First, our findings highlight the considerable willingness on the part of settled members of the Greek diaspora to develop transnational economic relations with Greece, and indeed, many people have already taken steps in this direction. However, one must not forget that most post-2010 migrants emigrate because they feel they lack any prospects in their home country and due to their overall disappointment in the socioeconomic situation in Greece, feelings which often go hand in hand with a deep disillusionment with the Greek political establishment and with state institutions. Let me explain these bridges of knowledge, bridges of partnership with the six key actions that I am proposing. First, formation of a coordination team, that is an executive body of ministers at minister level, which will set out the strategy. Second, a steering committee consisting of Greek professionals, entrepreneurs, academics, researchers, artists, who live and work abroad, and see on the public sector side a lean and flexible operational team to solve practical problems. Let's say problems related to tax issues or problems related to military service, etc., etc. I think that there are lots of such problems. Second, creation of a website, a platform, that will provide continuous information for those wishing to return or to cooperate with Greece while working abroad. Third, provision of incentives for developing relations with Greece and rewarding of all notable initiatives. Fourth, organization of events in Greece and abroad in cooperation with charitable organizations, private donors, and Greek communities. Fifth, creation of liaison offices at a few Greek consulates in countries with a significant concentration of Greek scientists. And finally, the sense of the brain drain so as to update our understanding on the phenomenon. Let me conclude saying that this way, Greek professionals working abroad will transfer the ideas and knowledge through collaboration with universities and research centers, with private companies, or by establishing their own businesses. A bridge that might later bring them back with immediate positive results for themselves and for the whole Greek economy, Greek society and the economy. And it could bring growth, and at the same time it might facilitate the change of our growth model, which is something that's most needed. I think that I'll finish here, and I would like to thank again, the Hellenic Observatory for giving us this opportunity, to do this research and having this seminar here.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have plenty of time for questions and discussion, so I'll hand it over straight to the audience. If you could please, for the benefit of our speakers, identify yourselves when asking a question. If you do have a comment, please keep it as brief as possible. Vasilis.
Question goes to Lois. In the four examples that you mentioned, Singapore, Korea,
China.
Thank you. Yes. I thought I would hear Ireland at some point, and it didn't feature in the top four. And in terms of overall size, it's not a huge big numbers, but it's a fantastic and amazing reversal from emigration to people coming back. And actually, it is the very good example of before people came back, they actually brought the investment first, and then they moved back. And it seems to me this is like exactly what you were talking at the very last part of the presentation, that we have to, as you were saying, we have to recognize that although Greek expats may consider going back to Greece, they don't consider going back to Greece immediately. But establishing some business in Greece and then sort of considering being half-time in Greece and whatever, and then eventually go back to Greece is something much more of an appealing option. Mm-hmm. I think this is also, it describes our experience here from those in the audience with Greece. But then I'm thinking that the menu of options here, although I understand the logic of it from looking at it from the perspective of Greece, what would attract really somebody is not sort of information, because you do have the informal networks to provide information, is this obviously political stability, but definitely the clarity in terms of regulations and legislation. I hate anecdotal examples, but I have a friend who works for Google, where activity happens, and it is impossible to open a spin-off company in Greece. There's no way of knowing how to do it and what's going to happen next year. So there's a lot of talent and money that is waiting to be kind of reinvested in Greece. And I'm not sure it's an information problem or a coordination problem. It's just clarity in political policy stability. And I don't know whether this is something that we can be hopeful about. We can always be optimistic about things, but, how do we address that, basically? And whether that is something that you think is maybe a priority.
Definitely. Policy stability is a major issue. It's not only for the talents that we want them to return or to connect to the country, but for investments as a whole, for people that they want to invest in Greece. I think we are doing our share. We try to our best, but I think that things have changed. I think that people more or less recognize that there is a policy stability now in Greece, and I suppose that all the indications that we have so far, I mean, especially the last months, is that people are willing to invest, and the forecasts, I mean, in the European economic forecast, I mean, that was published in November, I mean, is quite optimistic in this sense. And having the pleasure of being in the center of the enterprise issues in the government, I realize, I mean, that there are quite a lot of companies, I mean, both Greek and foreign, that they want to invest in Greece, I mean, nowadays. I mean, because, I mean, there are opportunities now in Greece. I mean, because of all this shrinkage, I mean, in the wages of in the wages in the amount that the plots are cost, and all these things have shrunk so much. I mean, that there are quite a lot of opportunities, I think, in Greece, and people have realized that. And on top of that, I mean, what they realize and they say that explicitly is that in Greece there is a workforce that is really capable of doing things, especially in certain sectors like IT and others. So, in this sense, I'm quite optimistic that things are going better, at least. Yeah.
But we know less about the tax system next year than we know about the low wages.
Yeah.
So uncertainty is about whether you will be able to, you know, whether you have a stable tax environment and whether you're able to do business with a, you know, an Indian workforce while you have established your company in Greece and things like that. And on all this, there's huge uncertainty.
Yeah. I mean, the issues concerning, I mean, tax, I mean, there are two. I mean, one is uncertainty, as you said, I mean, which is not, I think, to my mind, it's not anymore the case. And the other is that it's very high. I mean, 29 is very high. I mean, that's the most important thing. Regarding the first one, I'm telling you that there is not uncertainty anymore. I mean, people do not expect that there might be an increase again in the taxes. And on top of that, I might say that concerning, I mean, the big investments, the investments that they are more than 20 million, I mean, we have a special provision that has a stability for the tax rate for 12 years. And now that we are producing a new law concerning the attraction of FDI, we might extend that, I mean, to 15 years. I mean, to secure 15 years of stability in the tax
Lisa.
George Petrosius, I am a bit baffled and a bit confused with the direction that the discussion took towards the end. I was under the impression that you were presenting the results of this research of yours, which is an academic research from Guardian Tech. But then I am a bit baffled about the "we," you say. Is it we, you two, as the two presenters, or now you're discussing it with your other hat as an official of the British Economy Ministry, and you're talking about investment? And obviously you're in a very good position to discuss that, since you would be dealing with investors outside your office, perhaps, and you would know how many they are and what they are discussing to do and all the rest of it. But so I need you to discuss that particular thing, because there is an underlying theme here that somehow it is a bad thing that so many Greeks, particularly well educated, have emigrated, particularly during the years of the crisis. And now there are attempts to bring them back. Why? Emigration from Greece, as you've mentioned it before, has been the main theme of the Greek economy. And I don't want to discuss what happened back in the 19th century or the early 20th century and so on, but emigration in the 50s, 60s and 70s resolved the problem of unemployment in Greece. Apart from the fact that the remittances together with the remittances from the merchant marine, helped fuel the economic development in Greece, and also allowed the Greeks to drive expensive motor cars imported into Greece. The problem, I spent 3 months in Greece this summer, and I've got a completely different picture from what you're telling me. You have not answered the theme about the instability and the uncertainty pervading the country as we speak. We don't even know whether we're still in the euro or not, and you're telling us all these nice story about what you will do with these bridges of knowledge and bridges of partnership. We've been living in this country for the last 50 years almost, and we've heard these stories before. Attempts to bring them back. Why? To where?
Okay. Thank you.
So can you please answer this, and perhaps we can make some other points?
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments, Mr. Petrokoulos. First thing is that Dr. Pratsinakis has presented our work, our research, the one that has been published by the Hellenic Observatory. And I've said that I'm going to take the opportunity to present you, in fact, my thoughts and Manolis' thought on how to deal, how to explain this phenomenon, and mainly how to deal with this phenomenon. To my mind, I mean, this is a phenomenon that's related, I mean, to the fact that a country is less developed, and because it's less developed, I mean, this leads to the immigration of the highly skilled people. It's not a country, it's not an issue that's related to Greece only. It's something that concerns all the peripheral countries or all the underdeveloped countries. And it's due to the fact that they are underdeveloped. And because they are underdeveloped, I mean, they are led, I mean, to this migration of their most skilled personnel. So to my mind, I mean, I can understand very well, I mean, the fact that any individual, I mean, can decide, I mean, for his own benefit to go abroad and work abroad, and he can do whatever he wishes, of course. What we are discussing now is, in the case of a country like Greece, I mean, this phenomenon took enormous, it's quite enormous now. I mean, 190,000 people, it's more than 12 or 13% of the educated people in Greece. It's quite a big number. And this creates a problem in the development of the country. So, having said that, and having said the fact that I'm not expecting these people to return because there is no demand for them to return. I'm not asking them to return, not at all. I mean, what I've said is while they are abroad, I mean, to build bridges with Greece, which is a different matter altogether. I mean, from what perhaps I wasn't clear enough, but that was my point. I mean, while they are abroad, to be connected with Greece. And I think that this can be for the benefit of both sides. And in order to work, it has to be a win-win situation. I mean, it has to be for the benefit of both sides. Otherwise, I mean, people are not going to get involved in this issue. I mean, the people that they are going to get involved in this thing, I mean, they are the people that they consider themselves that they are going to win out of this, out of their involvement in this thing that I'm describing. And I think that I was very clear that this is not a policy, a government policy. It's something that I came here in order to discuss with you. It's some preliminary thoughts.
Yes, thank you very much for your comment. The part of the research is something that we did together, and we also thought together about possible ways to deal with the negative sides of it. Of course, I'm not anyhow related to the government and policy, except from like thinking along the lines of the findings. But I would like to say a few things in relation to what you mentioned from the findings of the research. And maybe I would start maybe from how to say this? I should take a step back and say that what we describe now is from the state perspective. There is a whole other discussion that can be made from the perspective of the migrant themselves. And I would be glad to discuss this with you if there are questions, because they have, the migrants, I mean, especially in the context of neoliberal deregulation, xenophobic relations in the countries where they head, do they have enough worries themselves? And migration, when they are employed in Greece, provides them at least an opportunity, and then where they go, they have problems. So that there is a whole other framing and issue to be discussed from the migrants' perspective, which is equally important, for sure. Now, about two things that I want to say from the data, and one thing is maybe we should have included and forgot, is about unemployment. What is interesting is that the migrants who leave Greece currently are not only the unemployed. 50% of them are unemployed in Greece, and the other 50% do have jobs, but because of the situation in Greece, they consider it's better for them to leave the country. So at this point, it doesn't solve the problem of unemployment in a sense that, you know, the unemployed leave, find jobs, and sometimes, as I mentioned, maybe they don't find the jobs that they wish when they leave. But that's another story. And remittances at this point, maybe in the short even future, that might change. But at this point, it's not an issue that works positively for Greece. So in that sense, we thought that, and because it's, the economy has changed, through globalization, you know, there can be links without the physical presence of someone, maybe, and because, you know, it's not within their wish, as you also mentioned. Some people just left because they wanted not to have anything with Greece and they want to live there, but possibly because they have a willingness, they kept their ties, they feel attached to Greece. That could be somehow a way to bring them in contact and somehow capitalize on their presence abroad, to the extent that they are settled and they are progressing and they are willing and able to do something. Thank you.
Fine.
Thank you,
Major.
You visiting fellow at the Hellenic Observatory. Two questions. Development, wouldn't it be the way we understand development nowadays different from what it was, for example, 20 years ago, taking into account not only the crisis, globalization, and so do we have, as Greece, some long-term perspective for development and for youth? And this question comes also from my personal research on Greek youth and democracy for the time. So I have a qualitative approach, and I have interviews with young people before the crisis that join a little bit what you have brought with quantitative data. The majority of those I've spoken with were very pessimistic in sort of the good years, and they were feeling that it was impossible to realize the personal aspirations. So in a way, it gave the feeling of a kind of parasitic youth that is living from the acquis of the parents and who would, even if, for example, they were they went abroad, they brought their diploma, but it would be like doing ballet and piano for sort of middle class level when they are children, but they stayed children in terms of their political participation and even economic, doing something different from the parents. Yes, thank you. And that, I see that changed a lot, but in the same direction after
the question of development.
Yeah. I'm not here, to present a rosy picture about Greece. It's not my intention. The only thing that I'm saying is that there is hope, that things are changing. That's the only thing that I'm saying. And the aim is, the growth strategy that we are going to present quite soon is to my mind, I'll tell it in my words, is that what we want to do is to make sure, that Greece will be able to move along the value chain to produce more value-added products. In the sectors that we have comparative advantages already, but to produce more high value added within these sectors, so as to get a better position in the international division of labor. And thus we will be more competitive, and thus we will develop the country, and thus we will have, I mean, a better life, I mean, for all these people that they suffer now.
Kevin Featherston from the Hellenic Observatory. I wonder if we could just go back to the point about incentives that you made. It's point three here, the provision of incentives to build networks with Greece and rewards for all notable initiatives. How far do you think the public sector in Greece has progressed, perhaps specifically universities, to create a climate of incentives which would be sufficient to bring people into bridges of knowledge and partnership?
In the universities, you mean, or in general?
Perhaps in general, but you could take the example of the universities. So your argument is that one of the strategic responses to increased levels of immigration is to build bridges of partnership and knowledge with the diasporic Greeks, with institutions back home, to build networks within Greece, mm-hmm. and to reward all notable initiatives. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a question there about the finance being available for the funding, but separate from the question of finance, I wonder to what extent do you think public institutions, we could take universities as an example, are actually set up in 2016 to be looking to provide incentives to external collaboration, incentives for these kinds of initiatives.
Right.
How extrovert are public institutions and universities in the context of the crisis looking to build bridges?
Right. Let me start, I mean, with the finance. I mean, my argument is that we cannot support, I mean, the return option, because we know, I mean, from all the facts that we have for several years, I mean, since the very first day, I mean, back in early 1960s, that we realized, I mean, that this brain drain phenomenon is a crucial phenomenon for other developed countries. They were developed, I mean, policies both from the countries, I mean, that they suffered, and from international institutions in order to bring back, I mean, to the countries, I mean, to the home countries, I mean, those people that they left, I mean, those professionals that they left. And in all cases, as I've said, they failed, apart from a few examples, and I'll add, I mean, Vasily's suggestion, and I'll add Ireland too. So it's very few countries, I mean, that succeeded, and they succeeded for very particular reasons related mainly to the fact that they have a huge growth rate, I mean, of their GDP, and in the case of India, China, and they were huge markets. And apart from the policies that they developed, I mean, concerning the return of these people. So when I speak about incentives, I'm not speaking about generous finance, and I'm not speaking about finance of this sort, but I'm speaking of some sort of grants, I mean, a few grants, I mean, to people for particular reasons, and to reward, I mean, some notable, as I've said here, initiatives that might have been taken, I mean, in the period, and make them known to the wider public, I mean, in Greece, which might be important, I mean, for the people that they were involved. So that's as far as finance goes. As far as your main question goes, I mean, whether the institutions in Greece, in particular the university, became more extrovert or not, I can tell you that I'm not happy, I mean, with the things, I mean, how things are progressed. But I think that they are progressing. I mean, people are certainly, I mean, what we can say that individuals or particular departments in the Greek universities, that they are extremely extrovert, and they are open, I mean, to all sorts of collaborations, both within Greece and and outside Greece. And on top of that, I can assure you that Greece goes very well, I mean, does very well, I mean, with the European research projects, I mean, we are doing very well. But apart from that, I mean, there are quite a lot of problems, I mean, with the way that the universities are managed, and as well as other public institutions are managed. Yeah.
Yes, it's the final point that I was trying to get to, that apart from finance, apart from EU-funded incentives, put all of that to one side, to what extent has recent government policy encouraged a shift of attitudes and culture to seek bridges of knowledge and bridges of partnership with outsiders? To establish that kind of bridge requires a culture change. Where is the government policy which connects with that objective?
What sort of government policy do you expect, I mean, to make it clear? I mean,
well, you could have policies which encourage organizational links with universities abroad. Legally, a number of obstacles in this respect. You could have policies which encourage joint appointments. You could, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that in both examples that you used, I mean, they are taking place, I mean, I don't know whether they are taking place extensively, but certainly they are allowed by the existing legislation, and in some cases, I mean, we have quite a lot of examples. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know, but there are other people in front of you who are asking questions, so I'll just add your name to the list.
So one is about, you said the latest wave of immigrants are a lot more highly educated than the previous ones, and I was wondering to what extent this has to do with the fact that the average level of education in Greece has increased in Greece over the last decade, certainly 2 years ago, or 30 or 50 years ago, even more, the average would be a lot lower. So I don't know how much that has to do with this, and the idea of, that we have about brain drain. And the other question is about your point of the immigration resulting from the crisis, and I was wondering how much that might also be because of globalization and the fact that young people today from various countries move to various other countries to work, and not necessarily because of the fact that there's economic crisis in their country. So I mean, even the Greeks who go abroad, they work with Italians and Germans and Brits.
So first of all, I mean, we've said, I mean, explicitly that immigration is not the result of skilled people, is not the result of the crisis. It has been exacerbated due to the crisis. It's an older phenomenon. I mean, some people might argue, I mean, that goes back to Mataró. I mean, it's an old phenomenon in Greece. It's not a new phenomenon.
I was wondering whether you had any results because you did qualitative interviews as well, and maybe you had some numbers or as to whether how much is what as a reason.
We have some results. I mean, from my previous study, I mean, we have some results that back in 2010 there were 130,000. I mean, skilled people. I mean, highly skilled people that they were working abroad. And nowadays, I mean, with this work that we do due to the grant that we received from the Hellenic Observatory, we estimate them to 190,000. I mean, that's one thing. But, I mean, as to your general remark, I mean, you can see here, I mean, how it changed the educational background. I mean, what Dr. Pratsinakis has presented, I mean, the educational background, I mean, of the people has changed completely, and now it turns upside down. I mean, it's the majority of the people that they left, I mean, they are highly skilled. But this is not a Greek phenomenon. I mean, since 2000, I mean, all over the world, I mean, the migration, I mean, more than 50% of the migration is coming. I mean, the majority of the migrants are coming from highly educated people. It's due to highly educated people. It's not a particular Greek phenomenon, right?
May I add a few things? On your first question, yes, definitely. In time, the educational level has increased, have increased, so that plays partly role in what we see here, but it doesn't completely explain the picture. So currently, for instance, people with third-year education in Greece is 30%, and among the immigrants, it's at least two-thirds, so it's double. So what we can, for the least mention is that it is much more probable if you are highly skilled to leave. And we've seen this that has changed in time. So this has been the situation during the period of crisis and the previous decade. Before that, it pretty much mirrored the educational levels in the general population. So we see that something has shifted in terms of the share of the graduates in 2000. Now, the second question concerned the numbers itself and whether it relates to the crisis or it's part of the broader world. But I think in that I would be more confident to say it is the crisis, because you can see it here very graphically. It's quite a huge increase. And if we go back in time, maybe it would have been good to have a few years before 2008. Unfortunately, we don't have those data. But emigration was really low from Greece before. And possibly Greece might have been also an exception. I mentioned that migration indications of people in Greece have been, people were not very favorable to leave the country. So there was a kind of change between of the crisis and took immediately after 2010. This should have been shifted. This break here is in fact somewhere here. So you see the increase right after 2010. So it's not even 2008. It concerns to the deepening of the crisis in Greece. And I think that's another important thing that comes from the qualitative material that you mentioned is the fact that one thing that has changed in Greece is the way people speak about migration. Before it was, where would you go? Or if you go abroad, you expect to return within a year. But now people see it as a kind of an opportunity, even family members. And that's, I think, really important. How it is spoken in society, social constraints loosen up, mothers would say, go away, take the opportunity to build a better life, whereas a few years ago would say, where are you going, or things like that. This is a very important change, I think, that has led to this, and may lead to the continuation of this in the future, and I think that has to do with the crisis.
It might also be interesting to compare this with other EU countries and the expats of those countries.
I have some data on that. I think Greece singles out as even in relation to other South European countries, in relation to the total population, emigration is much higher in Greece than Italy, Spain, Portugal, Ireland. It was slightly lower than Cyprus when Cyprus had the problem, but in Cyprus it was just a peak and it stopped. So Greece singles out as the country with the highest immigration rate. It's comparable, I think, to Romania, or I'm not 100% sure about that, but I'm definitely sure about the other South Europeans.
Okay, Professor Lambrianidis has to leave exactly at 7:30 because he has a flight to catch, and I have at least four people who want to ask a question. So why don't we take all those questions together, and then he can decide to escape before he answers all the questions, and we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
From the Commercial Office of the Greek Embassy. Very short question. It's not obvious in the data, but since we are trying to register or to follow how many Greeks are in the UK during these years, because it's a very good basis for us as consumers and regarding also in relation with the Greek export, we are trying also to find this data. I don't know if you have been able to find data of not how many there are in the various countries, and also in what field of job they are finally are working. Maybe it's totally different from their graduate studies or whatever. If you have been able to find this kind of data, because we are also trying to find
okay. The case. Thank you very much. Yes? You have a question, no?
Yes. I was Please. Thinking, first of all, how do you support these people abroad, the Greeks abroad? The most important thing, the question is also, how many people do you want to return or to work in interstate institutions which do not exist? For example, you could build interstate organizations and people could find easier jobs to their level of education. Because on the other hand, if you don't offer to people something, how can you expect and demand to offer something in Greece? Because if they make money, it's like the old story. Someone goes in America, makes a lot of money, and a lot of people who are in Greece, and they're very poor, they expect to be to be helped by them.
Okay.
And also, you know, the most important thing is in Greece, how you're going to sort out the things, the people, the factors that lead people to go abroad, as corruption.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we get the idea. How do you entice them back? How do you sort out the structural problems? Afid.
Yeah, my name is Afid Zanatos, and thank you very much. The data were very illuminative, I would say, and also the template is a template that should be in place. I mean, if you really want to bring back, I mean, Greece from abroad, I mean, these are the elements that you must have. I want to pick up just one point on the incentives. Before I do that, I think you mentioned Greece is a developed country. And unfortunately, we have the world record of being the only developed country that has been downgraded to an emerging economy, June 2013. That is a fact. So we are with Brazil, if you want, after the Olympic Games. Now, a very practical case. I bought a house in Dulwich for £30,000 in 1981. This house is 650,000. I'm not here anymore, by the way. And a pension is about £10,000. If I come to Greece and I work for a day and I do a tax return, I have to declare my world income and my world property. How much should I be paid to come and do one day's work, a month's work, or a year's work when I know I will be taxed for everything above 5,000 euros and then everybody will be after me? I'm not unpatriotic, but we're talking about economic migration here. We left Greece because of economics, and if we come, we can support, but up to a point.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Chrisa Papadesatou, PhD student at the European Institute, part of the people that left the country recently. So my question is to with inequalities in immigration, and I would like to ask you, because you said that you mentioned with the data that there is a difference in high-income households, at least in the first phases of the country, sending people abroad. And my, I have two questions regarding that.
One question, please, Chrisa. We don't have much time. Just one question.
First, whether high income immigrants are, whether data reveal that they are actually doing better in terms of jobs when they arrive, despite the fact that they may have the same level of education. And secondly, whether, for if you have data for the people that have already returned, and whether they are again the high income ones, that they are more likely to go back home, which leads me to the last points of Professor Labrianidis about the bridges, and whether some of these networks that you are proposing, if this is the case, that actually if the high income households sending the children abroad that have access to specific networks, maybe again it will be beneficial for a specific category of people. Thank you.
Okay, that's all we have time for now. Please answer what you want to answer.
Yeah. First of all, I would like to stress once again, I'm not saying that people are going to return now. I mean, that's my argument. I've started from this. I mean, being the situation as it is in Greece, I do not expect that people are going to return now. But, I mean, what I'm saying is that they are very crucial, I mean, for the development of the country. We need them back, but we know that they are not going to return immediately. And because this is not going to happen, I said that we have to build bridges in order for those that they want to have a cooperation with Greece to facilitate this cooperation. And when I'm saying facilitate this cooperation, I'm not thinking in terms of the state. I'm thinking in terms of the private initiative, I mean, of the private business, I mean, that they are going to be created, I mean, with those people that they are abroad, I mean, either they are going to do joint ventures or bring subcontracting in Greece and these sort of things. That's the main thing. Of course, the things related to academia are also important, but it's not the main thing. I mean, that's to be certain. I mean, it's not the thing that I have in mind. I mean, it's crucial, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is what's going to be within the private sector. I mean, to increase the relations of the private sector with people, Greek people that they are working abroad. And as I've told you, I mean, in my presentation, they are not individuals. They are nodes in a system. So they are very important. I mean, we can discuss, I mean, in the case of the example that Vasilis has mentioned, I mean, I have other examples, I mean, of Google people, I mean, building a joint venture in Beijing, for example, and in this way, I mean, they have the benefits of both worlds. I mean, being in the front run of the technology, and on the other side, I mean, being able to build bridges with their country of origin, with China, or I hope with Greece sometime. I mean, so that's the one thing that I want to say. The other thing that I would like to say concerning Chrysa's question and about the development thing that Mr. Giannakos has mentioned is that I think that's quite well known now in the literature that GDP is not the best way, I mean, to explain the level of development of countries. There are other issues that might be more important. I mean, if you take, for example, the human capabilities approach, they speak about other issues that they are very important, let's say education. And if you take, I mean, the inequalities that exist within Greece concerning education, they are huge. They are huge. And you cannot trace them through the GDP. Let's give you an example. If you take the number of years that people take in education in different parts of Greece, you realize that there are huge differences. Let's say in the outskirts, in Stavoria Proastia, in Kali, Kifisia, etc., people study for more than 12 to 13 years are in the education. While from the other side, I mean, people in mountainous areas in Thrace or Pomax, I mean, they study less than five years, more something like four and a half years. So it's a huge gap. It's a huge gap. And this sort of gap is, I think, that's more crucial to understand. And it's something that says lots of things about the potential, the dynamics of these areas, rather than the GDP itself. That's for me.
Okay. Question about how do you entice people to come back when they can't get taxed globally, even if they work for a day? Is an interesting one.
It's a very interesting one. All things related to tax are quite interesting. But
yes, but this also relates to your suggestions.
Yeah, the thing is that I had quite bad experience, I must say, with the institutions, I mean, concerning this issue. I mean, we are fighting for avoiding the world income for the CEOs of the FDIs, let's say the 10% of the people that they are coming, I mean, with the FDIs. And at the moment, I mean, there is quite a lot of resistance even to that. I mean, to generalize that, I think that will be impossible. On the other hand, I'm sure that if we will do such a measure, then lots of fruits will come. For example, I mean, all these people that they want to come to Greece in the context of international retired migration, I mean, that they want to come to Greece to live after their retirement and buy a house there and get permission to stay and permit to stay. If we have this measure, I mean, not to pay for their world income, I think that it will be a very good incentive in order to attract these people. But at the moment, I mean, it's a resistance even for this little thing that I've told you. I mean, there are a few FDIs in Greece, as you know. And I'm speaking about the 10% of the CEOs of these people. And it's almost impossible to get even that.
Okay, I know you have to go, but before I let you go, I have to say two things. Firstly, to announce our next seminar, the last seminar of 2016, which is taking place in 2 weeks' time, on the 6th of December, at the same time in this room. And the speakers are Professor Antigone Liberaki and Professor Platontinios, both visiting fellows here at the Hellenic Observatory, and they belong to respective universities in Greece, who will be speaking about advance or regression, gender balance, and the crisis in Greece. In the meantime, please join me in thanking our speakers for tonight's presentation.